Coming up on 11 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and again, 73, our temperature here in Albany. It is our 156th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program, and we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line right now and bring Dale in. We have Mr. Dale Damon on the phone. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Si. I'm just peachy.
Very, very good.
Beautiful outside.
It is. It's gorgeous. And where are we speaking to you, Dale? At home?
I'm actually at home today right now.
At home?
Yep.
And home is where?
In Buffalo.
Buffalo, Minnesota. Okay. Now, you did not originate there. Where is home for you when you got started, when you were born?
Piers, Minnesota.
Piers, Minnesota. You were, bulldog, or what was the mascot for the Piers?
Piers Pioneers.
Pioneers. There you go. I'm thinking of Painesville, Bulldogs. Okay. So you were Piers Pioneer. Graduated out of Piers High School?
Correct.
All right. Go on to any college or any extra education?
Yep, I went to a Votech for a couple of years.
You did. Okay.
Went to it, yep.
All right. And your folks are Ken and?
Ken and Jan.
Ken and Jan. And they owned the store up there for a good number of years, huh?
They owned, originally was a Red Owl store, then they changed to a Super Value, and I don't even know what year, 80 somewhere, I think it was.
Okay.
And they sold the store in 1994.
Okay, and I suppose you got to help out there a little bit over the years too, huh?
Yeah, yep, pretty much.
All right.
Yep.
So with doing all of that, how did you ever manage to take up interest in concertina?
Well, the concertina came before anything with the store. I was 6 when I started taking lessons.
Oh, really?
So, yep.
And where you took lessons from, was it Gilly, or where did you go?
I took a few lessons from Gilly Moss, yep.
Yep,
correct.
Okay.
Unstructured at that, as you can imagine. He had his band going, and he
sure.
had farming and everything. So it was tough going at first because I didn't have a, you know, come every two weeks or every week on Wednesday afternoon. It wasn't like that.
It was wasn't like a schedule.
Year,
yeah.
Maybe 3 months later.
Sure.
Maybe a couple weeks later, you know, it was just so hit and miss. And I might be remembering some of this wrong because, again, I was 6, but, I mean, there was no set.
Sure.
You know, like you have piano lessons, you go every Wednesday or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know,
no schedule.
Second Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And
as a hit and miss kind of a deal.
Sure. So that meant that that took a little more initiative on your part. You had to be pretty determined to stay after it.
Well, yeah, I don't think I was at first, but I don't think I was real determined when I was 6.
Oh, okay.
Dad kind of kept me in line practicing.
And that's good. I mean, you know, and
it
that's
is good.
I think that's what...
It was their idea, Si, in the first place. It wasn't my idea.
Sure.
I mean, what 6-year-old is going to say, hey, I want to play concertina.
So oh, exactly. Exactly.
I did it because of their love for the concertina and
sure.
Their relationship with Gilly, and that's kind of how it started. And, you know, after meeting them when I was probably, I don't know, 10, 11, somewhere in there, I do remember sitting in a couple times with Gilly. Mostly I remember the wedding. There was a wedding we played for Ben O'Gall's daughter.
Oh.
We didn't play, excuse me. Jolly Huntsman played
okay.
at the old Fairgrounds Ballroom in St.
Sure.
Paul. And we were invited to the wedding and went up and played with Gordy. No, it wasn't Gordy Lurkey. What's his name? Who played with the... Maybe it was Gordy Lurkey.
Could be.
No.
You're talking ancient history now.
Alan Quaidy,
yes.
Alan
okay.
Quaidy was the concertina player with the Huntsman at the time.
There you go.
And they're
go.
Still going. Tom Retka and I just... we send work back and forth, Oktoberfest work, really, because he's got the Huntsman band is more of an Oktoberfest band, and we do that as well with the beats, where we do the Lederhosen and the
okay.
German vocals and all such, you know, so we, like last year, for example, and this year, too, we played in Chippewa Falls and La Crosse, Wisconsin, and last year we did Des Moines, Iowa, Fargo, Moorhead, so we do a lot of traveling with that, so that's just throw Tom's name in there, that's kind of, you know, we still kept up and
sure.
He just passed one to me here just the other day, and I passed Waconia as a Oktoberfest coming up this year. We were unable to play, so
okay.
They're doing that one. So
uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
kind of neat, though. So that was back in, I know it was like 10 or 11.
Sure.
That. So remember, I played the 3 waltzes with Alan Quaidy. It's pretty pretty cool thing when up on stage being 10 and 11.
Oh, yes. And there's something special about youngsters playing. I mean, now that we're older, middle-aged like we are, you know, people, they enjoy coming out, and yeah, he's really good and stuff. But boy, anytime you see somebody that's, teenage years or younger, boy, it really gets people
mm-hmm.
excited because you know that if everything goes well, they've got a bright future. And
absolutely.
And that's the way it's been with you. Man, now, starting out at that young age, you're still a youngster, and you've got a lot of miles under the belt, huh?
Well, I do have a lot of miles, that's for darn sure. 36 years. I just put out our new CD.
Yeah.
And that's 36 years. July, let's see. Remember the exact date. March something, end of March, 28th, 30th, somewhere in there. Well, that was our first dance job that we played as the Polka Beats set in 1980. And that was for, you probably knew Ben. Did you know Ben Schwartz?
I heard the name. Yeah, I did.
Ben's Tool and Iron from St. Cloud. They had a brand new shed put up, and they were friends with Mom and Dad. They were in the Polka Club, in the Polka Heartland Polka Swingers dance group.
Okay.
And so they knew them really well, and they had hired us to play their grand opening at their new shed, their new shop in, I don't know, St. Joe, maybe St. Cloud. I'm not sure where it was. Obviously, I was 12. I wasn't driving,
so
I didn't pay attention.
I think it was in St. Cloud along Division Street there. I do remember seeing it.
Okay. And that was the first dance job of the Polka Beats, and that's where we started.
Who was all on stage that night with the first job? Do you remember the guys?
Sure. Yeah, it was a three-piece. It was Brad Kloss from Royalton.
Uh-huh.
He's out in California now.
Playing.
And he was actually a shirt-tail relative, maybe third cousin? Let's see. I think his mom and my grandma, on my mom's side, this is not on my dad's side. This is on the Casella side.
Uh-huh.
On the pop side. They were sisters, my grandma and his mom.
Okay.
Were sisters, if I remember correctly.
Sure.
So he started, and then Len Dupre was also from Royalton.
Okay.
He was a guitar player and a bass player from years ago, and just a three-piece. And then Len ended up breaking his neck, fell off a scaffold while he was painting on his barn or something, and that's when Kevin Brown started with me then in 1981, I want to say, 81, 82, I think it was 81. Kenny Faber started, we met Kenny in 1980, tail end of 1980, I believe it was.
Sure.
That was tail end of 81, I think it was. Anyway, those dates are running together now. I think it was the tail end of 81.
Sure.
And then he played full-time with me till he passed away in 93.
Yes, yeah.
And Kevin played about a year and a half, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And then I met Mark Houck through the union in St. Cloud, through Bill Bach.
Okay.
And he was just going to, this was when I was 16, so 4 years later, three and a half, four years later. I was probably a sophomore, I suppose, in high school, and I was a sophomore in high school, and Mark would have been a junior in high school. Mark would have been a first year college at St. Cloud State, and he was looking for a band to play with, and that ended up to be a great thing. He played with me for 30 years from 1983 until 2013.
Sure.
Played full time. So, yeah, we played lots of jobs, traveled lots of miles.
And that was all as the Polka Beats then?
Well, the lines are kind of blurred there. The Polka Beats really essentially was until Kenny Faber passed away.
Okay.
When he passed in 93, about that same time we started, and Mark had taught me bass guitar. Actually, I started a little bit with Kevin Brown, but for a couple months, but then when Mark started, Mark was a tremendous bass guitar player, and he taught me what I know on the bass. So we started, because up until that point I only played concertina. Then we started doing some old, Hank Williams stuff, because we were playing a lot more VFWs and whatnot, so we did a lot of classic country, and that kind of went into, as Mark's skills got better on guitar, because he was really a rhythm guitar player. When he joined the band, him and I met, and he taught himself lead guitar. So then we started getting into 50s and 60s and 70s, and started building our repertoire slowly, learning songs pretty much every week, every couple of weeks, learning a new song or two or three, and just building our repertoire. And then by 1993, when Kenny passed, then we talked about how the music was going. We still were playing quite a few jobs. But we could see the writing on the wall. Country was really big in that time, in the 90s. If you remember, all the big clubs were going up and all the country line dances. That was huge for everybody.
Uh-huh.
So we started doing more country, current country, and started booking a lot of weddings. So I thought, having the name Polka much as I love playing polkas, having that name in the band's name wasn't going to help us get wedding gigs. So we took the Polka out, changed it to Dale Damon and the Beats,
uh-huh.
and then I doubled on, so I played a lot of, you know, I played a lot of bass guitar in those days. Mark played a lot of lead guitar, and then our drummer we had was able to play some of the, you know, play all the different styles. Went through a couple different drummers until we got Chris Stanyets. His dad is Wally Stanyets. He played with Bill Cerniak's Coca Soul band. He was lead trumpet. So he was, all these guys are from music. Mark's dad is Mel Houck.
Yes.
By the way, he plays accordion and bass guitar, was a band teacher in St. Cloud, played with Bob Rennie's band, has his own band now. So all these guys that I've been playing with, you know, had music in their blood. They all came from father and grandfather and, you know, up the tree playing in the band. So it's kind of neat. So let's see. Then Chris played from 96 until, we had different ones from 93, 94, up to 96. Chris started in June of 96 and played till about 2013, a little earlier than that, 2011 maybe, 2012 when Dominic took over, our oldest son.
Sure.
And so now, and then in that time, so there's a lot of lanes are blurred, you know, because you don't just start, okay, this is the band we have now, then tomorrow we have this band.
Yep.
They come and kind of came and go, kind of came and went.
Phases.
So while Kenny was still playing, was still alive, Benny Gilbertson was a trumpet player from Mankato. Us four did a lot of jobs.
Oh, okay.
Kenny, myself, and Benny. And then over that time, then that was the Beats. And we changed to the Beats when Kenny passed. Benny didn't play. Benny played a couple jobs after Kenny was gone. We still played as the Beats. So I remember we played Rochester. I remember the Big Killer Fest there. We did, that was Benny and Mark and Chris and myself 1 year. I didn't know which year what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But, because we played there so many different times. But, then, after Benny played, I got Ross Scalise. He was playing, we were playing the last dance, the last year of the Gibbon Polka Fest. Don't remember what year that was. 2000, maybe. Maybe 2000. Maybe earlier. I don't know. Somewhere in that neighborhood. And we ended up getting a wedding call for that same day. Well, Mark didn't play for the... Oh, I got to back up. Sorry, I'm confusing you.
Not a problem.
I got to back up here. After I ran into Gary Bagenstos in about 2000, somewhere in that neighborhood, Gary Bagenstos, whom you know very well, he came back to, he ended up in Buffalo in the same town as me. We knew each other 15 years prior, but had lost track of one another. He was walking by my house evidently every day in the summer because I had this little concertina figurine that my wife bought me, wooden in our flower garden. Little guy in lederhosen playing the concertina. And Gary was always wondering who that was because he, you know, didn't know there was any concertina players in Buffalo. So we were playing a job in the cities, and he happened to be there at a restaurant, the German restaurant in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
He came down, and we were the band that was playing downstairs. We grabbed my card, realized that I'm the guy that's in the house. We started talking. I wanted to get back into playing polkas again, and because when you play weddings, I was playing a lot of guitar, a lot of bass, did a lot of rock country 50s, and our polka stuff was more like the Beer Barrel and Heaven There's No Beer and Too Fat Polka and all that stuff, the singing goofy songs, you know, that I really wanted to play, the side stuff and the old Jerry Schuff numbers and that kind of stuff. So that's stuff I was lacking. I was kind of getting away from that. So after meeting Gary, or re-meeting Gary, re-introducing ourselves, he started with me and we resurrected the Polka Beats. So at that point, I was running both bands.
Oh, okay.
The Beats were Mark and Chris and myself, just three pieces.
Uh-huh.
And then still three pieces. And then the Beats were Mel Mayer was playing drums a lot, Donnie Sayer, Gary on tuba, and myself. And then Ross joined in on the four-piece jobs.
Sure.
So that's how we were playing at Gibbon. It was Mel, Ross, Gary, and myself. And when this wedding came up, I had already told Mark, you know, we were already playing that day, so go ahead and, you know, I don't need you to hang on. We're going to be playing that old-time gig, so you're free to do whatever you need to do or whatever. That's kind of the agreement we had, you know. And then this wedding came up, and I'm like, oh, shoot, Mark's out of commission. He's somewhere. They were camping somewhere. So we tried to pull this wedding off with the three of us. Well, Ross goes, well, I can play some of that stuff. I go, I had no idea. Ross is a stupendous musician.
Yes, he is.
Play anything on that piano.
Yep.
Trumpet too, trombone also.
Yep.
So we started doing rock and roll stuff, and he was playing the fills like, like any of those guys, like any of the keyboard players were all doing all the rock stuff, and I was just blown away. So I'm like, okay, now we got to get Ross into the Beats. So then when Ross started playing the weddings with us, that took on a whole other deal because we were able to do a whole bunch more stuff. The band sounded fuller, and
sure.
and bigger, and we were able to do different stuff than we could do without that piano. So then it was Ross, Mark, Chris, and myself that did a lot of wedding. We probably averaged at least four weddings a month at that time through the part of the 90s.
Okay.
And still kept the polka stuff going. Started doing, you know, more, you know, still doing the ballroom. We did like the Lakeside and Waconia and Wade Park Legion, you know, some of the different ballrooms around, and some of the Sunday dances as old time as the polka beats, and then the weddings were always Saturday night.
Sure.
And, yeah, so just kept everything going, just kept everything moving, and then when the boys were coming on, then Ross and Mark were kind of, and Chris, my boys basically took over the place for all three of them, because Ross was on keyboard, Mark was on bass, Samuel takes care of both of them, because he plays keyboard, bass, and Donna plays drums, so that's kind of how he went. Then in that time frame, somewhere after Ross was playing with us, I ended up hooking up with Jerry Cale for a while. He played as our fourth man.
That's right.
And so we did a lot of hula-ray stuff, him on clarinet. I mean, I was doing the second clarinet part on the concertina, like Shuft used to do. And some of the bands do that. But so we did a lot of that. And then Jerry introduced me to, well, I knew Myron forever, but those two guys are, they like share a brain when they play. So Myron came on a couple gigs, started hiring him. So then we were five-piece,
mm-hmm.
playing Ellsworth Fest and a bunch of different poker fests that way. And then Frank Melmer came back from South Dakota back to Hutchinson. So he was our third member. So that's when we built the polka beats up to seven-piece with me and the boys, Gary on tuba, and then previously mentioned Ron,
sure.
Jerry, Myron, and Frank.
Well, if we can break in right there, Dale. If we can break in right there, we'll ask you to hold that thought. We're already at 12:05 here in central Minnesota. I need to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. And then, this is very interesting. We'll continue this with you when we come back. All right, Dale?
Sounds good.
All righty. So, Cy here with greetings with St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats, award-winning sausages, where smiling faces and low prices await you. The brat of the week, this one, a good one. Yes, it's our smoked cheesy potato brats. The smoked cheesy potato brats, a unique flavor that has you coming back for seconds and thirds. It starts with a nice blend of lean pork and beef, seasoned with our German-style seasoning, and a generous amount of real potatoes and cheddar cheese. It's a great brat for in the frying pan, in the oven, or off the grill in a bun. This week, you can come in and take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. And this weekend, out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market hosting and cooking will be the St. Joe Men's Lions Group. What a great job they do. They always do. Come out and roar just a bit with the great organization while enjoying a brat and a beverage for a reasonable fee. You will be supporting a very worthwhile cause, and yes, the Lions will be demoing those delicious cheesy potato brats along with the brat sale, an excellent chance for you to do some sampling for free. And as always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, call 320-363-4913 for more information. Thank you from the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. And Dale, for being our guest, and I know you know how this works, I think we haven't really hooked up ourselves yet, but we've had Samuel on, I believe, and your dad's been on, so yeah, you get a nice meat package put up at St. Joe Meat Market, and hope that you and the family enjoy it in good health. How's that for you?
That sounds awesome, Cy. It's not going to last very long with two boys, that's for darn sure.
I bet they
can probably cook it all up in one meal. No,
they can eat like hungry horses already, huh?
Isn't that something?
Oh, boy.
Gary Hagenstoss always said their boys got wood, they got hollow legs.
Awesome. Well, that's where we left off, Dale, talking about the boys joining in there.
Sure.
And in the meantime,
Yeah,
I was just going to say, in the meantime, I
apologize for rambling on here. I hope I'm not boring you.
No, heavens no. In the meantime, we just wanted to mention you did pick up the library of the Jolly Brewers, too, along the way there.
Yeah, that came into play, I don't even know when that was, 20-something.
Yeah.
So we did a few jobs that way. It's really been a challenge to, first of all, find the jobs that are able to accommodate eight men.
Yep.
And because it's got to be eight or nothing. You can't just go, you know, six piece and do the book. The book calls for tuba, piano, concertina drums, and four horns. Two reeds and two horns. So it has to be that way. So I got to get my four horn men. The other four is not a problem.
Sure.
And the boys not a problem. But I always got to get four horn men on the same day that aren't playing with somebody else, get the date booked and be able to pay them enough to get it worth their while to come out and play.
You bet.
That's really the challenge.
And that is the challenge nowadays for any big band, huh? Yeah.
Right. And the people, I tell you, about, a lot of times the way that book is written, it's written for instrumentals, a few vocals. Cactus changed some of it. But when I play, I really want to do the old Koopman and the Bruno Randall stuff. I want to do the stuff back to the 50s.
Sure.
60s. That's the stuff I really want to do. That's the what I get a kick out of playing. So there's consequently not very many vocals.
Sure.
But your people are kind of getting more conditioned to the 2- and 3- and 4-piece bands. Some of them don't even appreciate. A lot of them don't appreciate the 8-piece band.
Isn't that
people
something?
People are grumbling about too many horns, and they'd rather, you know, they want to hear the concertina, they want to hear singing, they want to hear more country.
Yeah.
More foxtrots, more slower music. And
sure.
This is really polkas, waltzes, and a few. They have a nice modern book. They really do have a nice modern book in there too, but not a huge amount of it.
Sure.
You know, and so that's kind of how we're at. So I basically bought that. I bought that because of mom and dad's. They followed Ernie around. They got married in 65, and they had followed Ernie around while they were dating it too. So I mean, they were big Koopman fans, and that's one of the reasons I bought it. Was after Cactus passed, I felt it was, you know, the timing was right, and I wanted, if nothing else, just to buy it and have it here, and maybe the boys will look at it and do some of the swing stuff in there, some of the big band swing tunes that are in there with some of their buddies on horn, and so there's always different things we can do with it. But yeah, it's a shame it's sitting there, but it is what it is.
That's right.
But, so you just kind of, you know, all the different variations away. I always tell people I have to make sure I write it down in the book. Who's playing? What band? Which guys are booked? You know, so there's no mess up. Otherwise, you end up with
the wrong.
You end up to a Beats Joe with the polka beats, and you get the wrong hung stuff. So we just have to make sure you write it down. So then I left off with Jerry, and then Myron and Frank, and so I've got CDs of all this stuff. As you well know, the one CD Sounds of the Past is just Jerry and Myron, Mel Mayer, Gary Bagginstoss, myself. The boys are playing one or two songs on there just because they were kind of breaking into it at that time. So I just put them on a couple songs. But that one really turned out good with the five of us.
Oh, it is. It's awesome.
Thank you. And then the next one we did was
The Good Stuff.
Good Stuff, thank you. And that's with the 7-piece. That's the boys, Gary, and the 3-horn we mentioned.
Yep.
Jerry, Frank, and Myron. So that one I'm really happy with too. Now the new one you just mentioned with, I thought, well, I'm going to just keep, instead of having all the same men, I'm going to have all different choices when you come up to the bandstand, which ones you want, whatever.
Sure.
So this is my 36th anniversary. But
okay.
I opted to just do it with the boys. So Samuel is actually playing on the job. He will play piano, bass, plug the piano into a bass amp, and it sounds exactly like a bass guitar. Kid is a whiz. He's a monster player on no matter what he plays. Piano, you should hear him play lead guitar. There's no rock and roll on this CD, but he does any rock or country or 50s lead parts. I mean, he's just tremendous. Plays trumpet, sax, harmonica, all the vocals. He plays accordion. That's in the future, too. That'll be another band coming in when the boys are going to go on their own. And he wants to do a 2-piece MIDI thing and maybe find a guitar player to add, you know, and do stuff like, you know, more Oktoberfest type music. But he can literally play anything on the accordion, whether it's rock and roll or country or 50s or polkas, it doesn't matter.
You bet.
So he's playing bass. He ended up playing bass guitar on the CD. Long story, the piano wouldn't work with the recording because of the split. It's too much to get into it. But anyway, so I said, well, you're going to have to play bass guitar then instead of play bass piano. So he played bass guitar. Then he played piano on some of the, he wanted to play sax on some of the recordings, so some of the tunes, so there's like maybe three songs that he dubbed the sax in, plays a real nice tenor sax, and then of course the vocals. And then my other son, Dominic, our oldest, is on the drums, and I'm on concertina. We're only contributing two instruments. Sam will pretty much do the rest, that's kind of how it is on the job, though.
And the CD is called Time Flies When You're Having Fun. Great title.
Yep. Correct.
And that's just the way it really is for you, huh?
Oh, certainly. I cannot believe that it's 36 years. Everybody says that. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, everybody said that. You don't believe how fast it goes. And you don't believe them. You don't, it goes fast, but you don't think it goes as fast as it does.
Well, I'll tell you,
my boys both graduated. They're out of high school now. They graduated early.
Oh, they did. Okay,
both out of high school.
Okay,
into their careers now, and yeah. So,
well, I'll tell you, looking at that CD cover, Dale, you're well preserved because it really looks like it's three brothers playing there.
Thank you.
Nice, nice picture.
I just had a birthday yesterday, Simon. My birthday was June 4th.
Yeah. Happy birthday. 39 now?
49 years old, yeah.
49. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. How time flies, just as it says.
Hi, tell me about it.
It must have been fun doing this recording because folks are going to enjoy this one when they hear it. I'll tell you, some great polka tunes. There's some two-steps on there. Talk just a little bit about a couple of the numbers there, Dale. It's special.
I was going to grab a CD because I don't remember what was on. I know we got some German there. Samuel does really a wonderful job singing German.
Schweizer
well.
Boop is a good one. He sings it in German. I mean, the German is so fluent the way he sings it. Annalisa?
Correct. Yeah, Okay, yeah, I got one right here. Lily Marlene is German.
Yep.
That one turned out pretty, I mean, they all turned out really, really good on here.
Anniversary Waltz, that's kind of a Russian edition, isn't it?
Yeah, I found out as I was going through the titles after it was all put down here that it's actually Anniversary Song. There is an Anniversary Waltz as well,
yes.
But this is Anniversary Song.
Song, yep.
I think this is Danube Waves, I believe. It's like a Strauss waltz, but yeah, it might have some Russian something. There's more guys that recorded it than I realized. Tom Jones recorded it.
Oh yeah,
back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a more of a contemporary, and he dubs the sax on that. So yeah, it really turned out. It's a little bit eerie because there's a minor. Has minor chord in it too, so it gives it that
different
sound.
Yep, it's very, very unique. You bet.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, you know, we've spent a lot of time mentioning the boys, and boy, you want to put them out in the forefront because, like we said earlier, having that youth, just like when you were first learning, that's what really draws people. But just spend a couple of minutes that we have left talking a little bit about Dale. You are no slouch when it comes to the concertina. My goodness, you do an awesome job on that thing. What do you do to stay in shape? Do you pick it up every day, or do you get enough practice just with all the jobs and work you do, or how does it work for you?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the compliment. Unfortunately, I do not pick the darn thing up during the week.
You don't?
Very, very seldom, unless I'm maybe going to work on a song or something gave me trouble the weekend before, and maybe a part didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and I might, but chances are I don't. I mean, I really don't, because the time gets in the way, and I just get into driving to the job going, I was going to take it out and work on that one piece. Well, we'll just try it again tonight and see how it works. But the playing keeps up. Part of it is, Elmer Scheid actually told me this, years and years ago, obviously, but he worked as a, he worked different manual stuff, and some of these guys were farmers. They worked hard with their hands. Their fingers, Gilly Mouse, their fingers ended up
taking
a
beating.
I'm not going to say they were slow, but they weren't as quick as they might have been when they were younger because of the manual work they were doing.
Exactly.
I'm blessed that I don't work as a farmer. I don't work as a construction worker. I don't work with my hands other than playing the concertina.
Sure.
That's part of it, I think. But part of it is also playing. I really think I got better in the last 5 to 10 years, 5 years for sure, with the boys playing.
Oh, okay.
One thing with Samuel, when he was going through he was doing all the lead singing, so he would sing a song in one key, say this weekend was in the key of D, that song we always played it in. Him and Mark had pretty much the same voices, now they do, but at that time I was learning them in different keys or grabbing a different concertina to get that same the key he needed. Well, 2 weeks later we'd be playing, and we're playing that same song, and I'm going on the same key we did 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden he's looking at me going, I can't sing in that key tonight because his voice is changing.
Sure.
So what do you want him, what do I got to put it into? This is something where a concertina player doesn't always think of or have to do.
Right.
Just put it in a different key on stage. So I would just go into a different key and just had to muddle through and just learn it as we went. So that kind of got my ear better, my chops better, knowing the keyboard better, and I'm just glad for that, because I'm playing, this just happened again last weekend. There was a run came out of my fingers, and Samuel looked, he turned his head, cranked his head towards me at the same time I was looking at him going, where'd that come from? And then, it was a run that I had never done before. I've been playing, you're playing 36 years, there shouldn't be anything new on that thing.
Yeah.
But there is. There's a lot more to learn. There's a lot more that I have to learn yet on the concertina. So, and I do have to make that, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I do have to make a point of that to start taking it out of the box.
Uh-huh.
Brian Briggan told me this a long time ago. He said, I put one concertina upstairs and out of the box, set it down, one concertina downstairs, and I set them there out of the box. So as I'm walking by, I'm going to grab one and play a song.
Uh-huh.
I might spend 15 minutes there, I might spend a half hour there, or I might spend just 5 minutes there. But,
sure.
But it's there in front of me, so I pick it up and play something.
Absolutely.
Or you hear something on the radio and you grab a box and start playing it.
I'm glad you mentioned Brian. I was hoping that you'd mention a few more concertina players because I know you've been on stage and rubbed elbows with a lot of them.
For a long time, Brian and Carl was one of the reasons I got, you know, after having enough skill, I guess, to get on stage,
mm-hmm.
Carl really helped me when I was, you know, 11, 12, 13, just by listening to him play and, you know, hanging out with him and Gibbon.
Yep.
And just having fun with Carl, you know, and just seeing what he did. And I learned a lot of songs off recordings from Brian, off recordings from Carl, just live stuff I taped when I was at their dances. I'd run around a lot and go to these different dances, and Carl played the Elwynn a lot, and Brian was at Gibbon lot, so I was, you know, I went out there different times, took my boombox along and just taped everything and learned a bunch of songs. Our swing numbers, our old foxtrots, my book went from very few, maybe 10 to 15 to 100, you know, 200 of them now, but a lot of that push was a lot of stuff Brian and Carl did, because they were really into more of the swing, upbeat, swing, foxtrot kind of stuff. Brian, with Phil playing, with his dad playing, he brought up old stuff from, you know, way back, Playmates, you know, just stuff like that. I learned all that stuff, a lot of that stuff, just off recordings of his, off live recordings.
That's awesome.
I could do that all night. I mean, I've got enough of that stuff to play.
Did you ever...
repeating.
Did you ever get to work at all on stage with guys like Ernie Koopman, Donnie Klossner, and any of the older guys, Elmer Scheid, or did you just get to watch them?
I played next to Ernie Koopman at the old... it was in Hinckley. Remember, what was that called?
Pine City Ballroom over there? Or
No. I played the Pine City Ballroom before, too, but this was... something they had, a concert place they used to have, like Johnny Cash and all these guys out there.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yep.
I can't think what it's called, but it was in Mission Creek.
Mission Creek, okay.
Mission Creek and Hinckley. I think that was before the casino, maybe?
Probably.
This was years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yep.
Ernie's been gone for a while, so.
Yeah.
But we played next to each other there. Klossner, I recorded on that one recording, the good stuff. I put on his... Buttons and Bellows, that he wrote.
Yeah.
And I called him first before I did, and he said, absolutely, put it on there. So,
sure.
Yeah, him and I, we've had times together. He actually played for Gary Bagenstoss's wedding.
Oh, he did? Shirley. Oh, my gosh.
Johnny Klossner did, yeah.
Jerry Schuft, you play with him at all?
Schuft? Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some great guys.
A lot of good times with Jerry.
Great names we're mentioning there. Dale, I got to quickly ask you a couple more questions, and our time is about up.
Don't forget Gary Briggan, too.
Yes, Gary is in there, too.
We spent a lot of time on stage.
Oh, man.
We spent a lot of time playing.
I got to ask you some trick questions. First of all, name a song that kicks your butt or some that's given you conniptions or somebody requests and you say, oh, God, not that one. Is there one that gives you obviously you can play anything nowadays, but...
No, I can work it. I've had a good night with it. I've had a terrible night with it. I put it on the shelf for quite a while, and I just remembered it the other day, and I guess that's probably one I'm going to start working on again. It's a concertina, the concertina...
Not the chromatic.
The laughing concertina.
Laughing concertina, okay. Yep.
Schiff played it. Brian recorded it.
Yep.
It's a dandy.
Uh-huh.
It's a dandy, but it's a little... Fingers kind of trip over one another, but on one of the parts. So
sure. And how about any special occasion, awards, anything that stands out in your mind, great experience over the years, something that you'd care to mention quickly before we're wrapping up here?
Well, I don't know. This is a while ago, so you probably know, but I think it was 2012 was the World Concertina Congress. I was inducted into the
Hall of Fame. Good for you. Congratulations.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
So, yeah, I don't know. Just that's about any, you know, I'm sure there's other stuff. I just wasn't, I'm not thinking on that vein right now.
Sure. Well, we're going
to. I do have to say one thing. What's the over and above everything else, the best thing about it, and I'm not taking anything away from playing with Mark for 30 years or Gary or any of the musicians that were shared the stage with me, is so awesome. And I feel so blessed that I'm able to play with my boys.
Absolutely.
Every weekend. I mean, like last weekend, we went out, Memorial Day was the weekend that started the festivals here. So we played Larry Olson's festival out in Lake Benton last Thursday. And that was the leadoff day. And then 2 days, so we're driving 3.5 hours. And three guys in the vehicle. It's all, you know, I always get to hang out with my boys driving to the job, not just on stage, but to and from.
Yep.
And, you know, Saturday up to Clarissa for their festival. And that's 2 hours from Buffalo. And then a couple of days ago, we played at the Withrow Ballroom. That's 1.5 hours with the traffic. So, I mean,
sure.
We spend a lot of, you know, I mentioned Des Moines and,
yep,
and Chippewa and La Crosse and a lot of these. It's traveling. It's a lot of fun, quality time with the boys.
Yep, yep.
And it's a lot of good time because we talk about a lot of different things and stuff that comes up. And that's just a treat. It's just to be able to play with the guys.
You bet. And let's give credit to your wife, too, because I'm sure she's a big
absolutely.
Part of it, too.
So I always say this, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because she is the one who started this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, my mom and dad started the whole thing with me, but...
Yep.
Getting the boys piano lessons was not my idea. They
uh-huh.
started piano when they were about probably 6 and 7 or 5 and 6.
Sure.
Dominic also plays piano. He's kind of let that go because of his gums, but he still can play a little bit, I think.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he'll come back to it someday, but
sure.
that is what brought Samuel to the level that he is. So
sure.
Anybody out there wondering if their kid should start piano, get him on piano. I was not a believer before because I
sure.
started on concertina. I don't know anything about the piano, but he was able to teach himself lead guitar and sax and trumpet and all these different instruments and bass guitar. I forgot about that. He plays bass guitar better than I do. I've been playing for 30 years. No, 25.
Sure.
But piano's the way to go. So,
all
yeah,
right.
That's Sherry. That's all her.
And that's your wife's name, Sherry.
That's my wife.
Sherry. Oh, awesome.
She is a Wagner from Waconia.
She
so
is.
That's how we met. So
okay.
the polka thing proliferates here, you know.
Oh, yes.
So I met her at a playing at the Lakeside Ballroom at her grandparents at the ballroom there.
Awesome.
In the ballroom, so.
Well, great. Well, Dale, we've run way over time here, but it's been so interesting. And, golly, I want to especially thank you for taking time out on a Sunday afternoon to visit with us. And I tell each and every one, and it holds true, good Lord willing, you and I are both here down the road. We'll do it again sometime. How's that?
That sounds great, Si. I'm looking forward to that meat package.
You betcha. And real quickly, where will people see the Polka Beats, the Beats, or any of the bands? Where will they see you in the near future?
Well, we've got a lot of private stuff coming up, but we do have a few festivals we're working. We'll be we're playing Bavarian Blast this year. That's July 15th. Friday, we're playing the C4th Polka Fest the next day, Saturday.
Okay.
July 16th, we'll be doing Molly B's polka taping. August 4th, I believe it is, around
okay.
your area. We're playing the polka mass at Barley Days in Greenwald.
Awesome.
We're playing in Melrose for their polka mass at the end of June, I believe it is. June 25th, I think, last Saturday in June.
Great,
so
great.
We're around.
That's great. There'll be plenty of opportunities to see you guys, so that sounds great. With that, we're going to let you run, Dale. Have a great afternoon. Thanks again.
Thank you, Zach.
All right.
Take care, listeners.
There he goes, Dale Damon of the Beats, the Polka Beats, the New Jolly Brewers Orchestra. You bet. Great, great concertina player. Been a fun interview with Dale. Don't go away. We've got music coming up off of their brand new CD.